Manx Radio's Countryside is brought to you by NFU Mutual.
Hello and welcome to Countryside here on Manx Radio. I'm Simon Clark.
And I'm Kiri Kermode. This week we catch up with Kayleigh Masson and some of her team of young handlers ahead of the Southern District Agricultural Show.
I went to the big day out at the Children's Centre on the Old Castle Town Road. And also I went round a couple of gardens in Ramsey in the Ramsey in Bloom Open Gardens Weekend. Well, shows are getting near. We'll talk about that shortly, Kiri, but plenty to fit in on the programme today. And, well, I went along to the Children's Centre. You've been there many times, haven't you? And what an operation they run there.
It's a real great opportunity for children to get up close and firsthand with nature. And they're a good team. They're so enthusiastic, aren't they?
They are, and there was a lot of people there on Sunday. Well, I popped along, got a chat with a mum and daughter who were doing portraits of each other. But firstly, I spoke to Geoff Whittam, the CEO of the Children's Centre.
What we've got going on today is we've opened the farm to the public, so people can come and have a lovely day spent at the farm with us. And we've put on all sorts of really nice activities. There's some crafts. There's some games. There's some Vikings, which is a really important point. There's a bit of food. There's lots of play. There's lots of ways of engaging with the Children's Centre and the kind of work that we do during the weekdays.
Yeah, but it's great because growing up on a farm myself, and we always had people, friends who weren't from the farmer background coming around to our farm. But obviously things have changed a little bit on the modern farms. There's massive machinery about and everything. Where here it looks don't take it the wrong way, that nice little quieter environment.
Very much so, yeah. It's not agriculture, you know, and I don't have any, you know, being a working farmer is an incredibly tough profession. But, you know, what we are here is perhaps more like a small holding. So when we grow things, we don't grow things just because we're trying to produce something to sell. It's about the experience of growing a plant. So sometimes we can eat the food that comes from the plants, but, you know, the sole purpose isn't about then selling it. So when we work with the children that we work with, it's not about, inverted commas, teaching them farming, but it's about engaging with the natural environment, with all the lovely things that you kind of could play with as a child, perhaps yourself, that we've got here for kids now.
Yeah, well, of course, children are all different, and some need more space than others.
Exactly,
and that looks the perfect place here.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're just on the outskirts of Douglas, and many people who come here or haven't been here for a while always comment on how peaceful and quiet and I'll use the word safe it is here. You know, it's not sterile. It's a farm. You know, there's bits and pieces on the ground, but it's lovely to be here. And the kids that we work with during the weekdays, that's exactly the experience they need. They need a little bit of air around them, so they're not sort of confined by, for example, the classroom or the healthcare service that they might need. You know, so there's a space to run and explore and be.
How many children are you dealing with?
Well, we work with about 120 children per week.
Really?
Yeah. So they come to us for approximately a three-hour session, and we work alongside schools, and we work alongside healthcare and alongside social care. And the unfortunate thing is we are full, you know. There's only so much resources that we get. We get very, very, very little funding into our work, so we have to generate the income to run the charity each and every month, basically. So I know that we could work with more kids, but I can only do so once we've got the resources to do it. So today is a little bit of a tester towards that, because the farm's amazing, the site's amazing, I'm so proud of it. And if we could generate a little bit of an income, a modest income at the weekend, it generates a bit more resources for us to be able to do more services for the vulnerable, the at-risk and the families with needs.
You look around, you've got some animals here as well.
Yes, indeed.
And they seem to have adapted to this peaceful, beautiful viewing place up here.
I'll talk about the cats in the context of this. So we have a squadron of four working cats who are supposed to keep the site rodent free, and they are the laziest, most, you know, kind of overfed, underworked cats that you might come across. Now, the animals are amazing, and they're such an important part of our work. I'll tell a story. It's quite a long story, but we were working with a child who had a condition called selective mutism. So that's not, as it were, a medical diagnosis, but because of bullying and pressure, they're just gone so very much inside themselves and stop talking to family, stop talking to teachers, stop talking to friends. There's very little other providers on island that can work with this particular issue. So we'd picked up this child and worked with them for a long period of time, about, you know, a 2 year period of time. And the first time we ever heard them speak is when they're feeding the animals and they're giving the pig some potatoes, and we're basically just saying very small things like, here's your potatoes, you love potatoes. And that's that first little window of breaking through into a communication. And then the next steps were about leaving voice messages between this young person and the practitioner they're working with. And then gradually got to a point where they actually spoke in public to a group of corporates that came to us and said about their time here at the farm and here with the service. And that was, you know, that was 2 years of patient work, but the results are incredible, you know, and that shift and change in their wellness, their well-being was amazing.
I was just going to say, because 2026, the world isn't the most patient place, and aren't the most patient. And to hear that, even though it took quite a while, it's a rewarding sounding.
Hugely so. Yeah. It's the thing I'm really determined to keep hold of. There's a jargon word, it's called longitudinal. So our work is over a long period of time. You know, we only close cases once outcomes are achieved. And I really want to keep hold of that, because exactly, a lot of times within healthcare, you hear things like that they're assigned 6 sessions and then that's the case closed. And it just doesn't work for people who have got difficulties, you know, especially children. They need to kind of create a relationship with the adult, the teacher, the therapist, the practitioner that they're working with.
And what areas are you dealing with? You have quite a variety.
Yes, it is. Yeah, it's very varied. Yeah. And again, I don't want to get too much into jargon, but it's essentially the broad umbrella of adverse childhood experiences. So it can be complexities in the family. It can be healthcare complexities. It can be learning difficulties. It can be all sorts of different things. And we know there's some amazing charities out there also doing amazing work. But you know what? Our work sits in that space. And so we're not looking to work with every child on island, but the ones that we can help, we do such a good job of looking after them and caring for them.
You mentioned the pigs. I see some Loctons over there. Isn't
yes,
a
indeed.
Donkey?
Yeah, exactly.
A donkey?
Yeah. Got 2 donkeys. We've got some Loctons and some other sheep. We have chickens. We have runner ducks. We've got 2 different breeds of pigs, but 3 pigs in total. Mm. We've got 1 goat. As I say, there's the cats. Some gerbils. So guinea pigs as well. Yeah. So yeah, there's quite a few different animals here.
Yeah, and it does create a bond, doesn't it?
You hugely know, so, yeah. Yeah, hugely so, absolutely. Looking after an animal is so important for so many people. And not everybody can have a pet as well because of their living conditions or living spaces or living whatever you want to call it. So having the animals here is so good for some of the kids that we work with.
They're all outside today doing activities.
Yep.
You've got the wigwams, as I call them, tents up there. On the normal day-to-days, is there activities inside?
Oh, massively so, yeah. In fact, more of the stuff inside than outside. And this is one of the reasons I'm really, really proud of the farm, because we've got so many different ways of engaging. We try to make it a space that no matter your interest, you'll have something here. So there's cooking, there's musical instruments, there's technology, there's horticulture in the polytunnels, there's games and play spaces, there's, you know, a pottery, there's an art room, there's almost anything that you can kind of think of that would grab hold of a child's attention.
So just an interesting thing on my behalf, I mean, how do the kids how do they end up spending time with yourselves?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, it's a good question. So we have an open referral process where families can contact us, and we would meet them and find out whether or not we are the right charity to help support. And we also have partnerships and working relationships with schools and also healthcare providers as well. So, you know, we're always looking to make sure the charity is sustainable. That's a very important part of my job as the CEO, is to make sure the charity is sustainable. So, we're building really strong relationships with parts of Manx Care. But, you know, there's a few various different ways. I will just say, if any family is listening to this and think that they might want to talk to us, our referral process is quite simple, and it's on the website, and there's phone numbers and there's forms that people can fill in. And indeed, if you're a professional working with a school or one of the health services or social services, again, you know, call us and talk about the issue that the people you're helping, and maybe we can be part of their journey as well. So we have simple phone number. It's quite an easy phone number, and that's 800000, and that's manned between 9 to 5 Monday to Friday, or our website, which is www.thechildrenscentre.com. www.ecofarm.org.im, and hopefully you can navigate your way around that and find contact and email and things like that.
So what's going on here? What's your name?
My name's Nicole.
Okay, so what's happening?
It's a photo booth, so I am going to draw my daughter's face through the photo booth.
All right, now, before, a few minutes ago, you were sitting on the other side of this.
I was, yeah, and now I've got a photo of myself that she's drawn for me. So I've got a portrait that she's drawn for me.
And what's your daughter's name?
She's called Marnie.
Marnie, and does Marnie do drawing at home?
Oh, she loves drawing.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, let's get a quick word of Marnie. I've seen your picture that you've done of Mummy. Were you quite pleased with it?
Yeah.
Yeah? And she's going to draw a picture of you now. How do you think that'll go?
Good.
Yeah? And how long did it take? Days and days, no?
Yeah.
No?
Yeah.
And what colours? Did you have all the colours you needed?
Yeah.
And what happens here? There's a little slot like the postman has. Yeah, so how do you manage to give the picture to your mum?
So you put it in a little hole.
Yeah.
And it comes to deliver like a postman.
Yeah, really? And were you quite pleased with how your picture come out?
Yeah.
Was your mum?
Yeah.
Well, we'll soon see how she gets on drawing a picture of you. I'm going to go around this side and have a look through the lens. There we are, mum and daughter enjoying their day out, the big day out at the Children's Centre. And before that, tell me all about what the centre does and what activities they've got and what facilities they have at the Children's Centre. It was the CEO, Geoff Whittam.
It's so important to educate the next generation, but there is quite a willingness from some of the parents and adults aside. They want to learn too, and it's that connection that we bring back between the town and countryside. It's so important, and they're doing a good job there at Children's Centre.
They certainly are, and doing a good job with some of the young kids involved in the handling of animals. So that must have been a daunting task.
Yeah, Kaylee Masson is fantastic at rallying the troops. She's a great volunteer herself. And to see her there training the next generation, as we love to push on countryside and get them all involved. I popped up to Ballakisic Farm in Santon to see what she was up to with this year's Young Handlers. Today is a beautiful, glorious sunshine day, and the children here at Ballakisic look like they're having an absolute whale of a time. Covered in bubbles, covered in water. There's some smiling faces. What about you? How are you feeling teaching them?
Washing's always one of the most busy times. As you can see, there's quite a few of them there scrubbing away, and the parents help get stuck in as well. But they've done well. We've had, I think it's 4 or 5 weeks of training, so not a lot of time, but they've come on really well. And they're doing really well with their calves. For some of them, it's their first time.
Wow.
So we've got 3 newbies this year. They've really impressed me. They've done really well.
So how did you ever take this task on? You know, it's hard to teach farm children to get involved, but to have people that have never really been around animals come and have a go, you know, what's it bring out for you?
We've got interest at the shows. You see, like, people come and see them walk around the ring, and then they come and ask questions. Some of it is word of mouth, so their friends, like, want to come and have a go. We've got a smaller team this year because some of them have gone off to do other aspects. I know some have gone to do sheep and things like that, and horses. But we've got a decent team. Last year, I think we had 13.
Oh, my word.
Yeah, that was a lot of work. But this year, we've only got 8 handlers, so it's a little bit less stressful.
And these calves, they're so well behaved. They're standing here, you know, they're tied up, enjoying it by the looks of it. How do you get the animals to come basically out of the field to get to this stage alone?
So the first thing we do with them is just tie them up in their pens, and we get the kids to just stand with them, talk to them, stroke them, get hands on. That really helps to desensitise them once they're out walking around. They've actually done really well this year. They've done the majority of it themselves. Some years it takes parents, obviously, and myself and Michael and some of the older ones to help out, but they've all done really well this year, doing it mostly themselves.
And talking of you and Michael, Kaylee, you've obviously been around the shows all of your life, very successful in the Young Holstein Breeders yourself. How did you ever get started?
My family have been showing for quite a while. So I was 2 when I got started, as were my brother and my sister. little tiny ones walking around the ring. Obviously, we had help. We grew up around it. So when I moved from our home farm to Michael's, we just kind of kept it going. training the younger ones. Obviously, Michael was quite busy on the farm, so I got the job of training the younger ones.
And what did you feel like as a youngster in the show ring? Because you know, you've been very successful as well. You know, is it quite addictive? Is there a good buzz from it?
There is, yeah. Seeing the finished sort of product of the animal when you get them to the ring from when you started, especially if you've got a bit of a stubborn one or one that doesn't like to stop. It's really good to see when you get it into that ring and it behaves and it does everything it's meant to. And it is addictive, and there's a weird calm to it, being around the cattle. And it's really quite relaxing.
And that's what they say is that animal therapy, isn't it? You know, you can really have that connection with the livestock, and it means an awful lot to get out and to have this opportunity.
Yeah, this is kind of why we keep it going with the younger ones, is to keep that opportunity there. Obviously, I had it growing up, as did Michael, but a lot of kids nowadays, they don't. So having that opportunity open for the kids is fantastic. It's keeping them interested in the agricultural industry as well. And it's building up their animal management and how to behave around the cattle, especially for kids that haven't grown up around it.
And to see these cattle here, obviously they would have been a bit dusty and muddy. It's just the time of year, but now bright white, shining like new pins, aren't they?
They are, yeah. We've got different shampoos which help with that, but there's a lot of elbow grease that goes into the scrubbing. Yeah, it's a good workout for you. You don't need to go to the gym afterwards.
Absolutely not. And Kaylee, you just competed locally on the Isle of Man growing up, or were you further afield?
So I qualified for the national calf show. It's called the All Breeds All Britain. It used to be down at Stoneleigh when the Royal Show was around. I was sixth the first time I qualified, but I've done it several years. I don't know how many times, I couldn't count. But yeah, it's always a good experience. Meeting up other young handlers and things from other counties as well is brilliant. And yeah, the atmosphere is just fantastic.
So what tips do you pass back to all these little ones getting started out on that journey? Because that little lad there, he's only tiny.
Yeah, so our youngest is four, little Harvey, and then our oldest we've got two 18-year-old lads doing it this year. But it's just like having fun. But, you know, if you're calm, the animal's calm is sort of the main thing that you pass on to them. So, you know, if they're jumping around or not walking, if you stay calm, as hard as it is, it keeps the animal calm, and then they're more responsive to what you need them to do.
And what part of it is your favourite in the preparation on the rundown to the show? We're only days away now.
There's a lot of preparation that goes into it. So they have to be washed and clipped, and there's a thing called top lining where you straighten out the back, but Michael does that bit.
And that's all done with the hair, I'm assuming, and lots of hairspray, maybe?
Oh, yes, a lot of hairspray goes into it. Extra stronghold hairspray is always a favourite. There's something really therapeutic about the clipping and things of it, just seeing the difference in the calves afterwards, going from you know, quite hairy and thing to seeing them show ready, is really rewarding.
And do you have to do much with a diet for a young animal like this, because they're bonny, aren't they? So, you know, do you have to have them in show condition, or is that a bit different for young handlers?
So the handlers don't deal with that side of it so much, because obviously they're on the animals are on the farm, so that's down to Michael. But they are kept separate from the rest of the stock, and they're fed certain things that maybe the rest of them aren't. A little bit extra feed here, or extra hay and things.
The Omega oil to get them so shiny?
I don't know, to be honest, what he does with them. It could well be, but yeah, he does well with them, and we have a lot to thank Michael for with letting us use his stock, and obviously Ashley and Sandra as well, and Neil.
And do you compete still now, Kaylee?
I don't. So the maximum age for young handlers is 26.
Okay.
I will sometimes take something in the ring if it needs it, but I tend to leave it to the younger ones now.
So now you're a coach.
Yes. And you stand at the sides and kind of hope that they remember what you've told them.
And what is the most rewarding part after it's all done for the day and you're turning the cattle back out into the field?
Just seeing the kids do well in their classes, you know, deal with, if they jump, because obviously it's a busy environment at the shows, it's loud, there's new sounds, new smells. But just seeing the kids and the smiles and everything when they come out of the ring is
I remember last year seeing a little boy and he'd got reserve champion, and I could probably hear him before I could see him coming with this rosette. He'd never been so proud. And that there, even for me as an old handler now, it was just nice because I can remember that feeling I got in the show ring when you got whatever colour rosette, whether it even be, you know, 5th, 6th, 10th, whatever it was. It was just so nice, and it would push you on, wouldn't it, for the next time?
It does. It keeps you going. And even when it's stressful, you sort of know that the outcome will be that, and seeing the kids so excited when they get a rosette. And
the one thing I do find amusing, Kaylee, is that the children have to wear white. I mean, brilliant white outfits to show cattle, which can be dusty and muddy a lot of the time.
It's an absolute ridiculous colour. We say it every year. We don't know why they wear white. So, yeah, it's literally a case of prep the calf to go into the ring and then change the child with 2 minutes to go to keep them as clean as we can, and they don't touch anything until they walk in the ring.
Oh, and it's that, isn't it? It's the discipline, the responsibility, you know, the encouragement that comes hand in hand with livestock keeping and showing.
Yeah, there's a lot of people, there's a lot of work that goes into it, and a lot of people to thank for all their work. You know, we've got parents here today getting stuck in, we've got parents of some of our new handlers. Absolutely no problem just getting in there, scrubbing feet, scrubbing bellies.
Oh, it's quite daunting, isn't it? It is, yeah. Their feet move quite quickly.
They do. You've got to watch. Definitely builds your reaction time up. But no, it's a community, and it's a family, and everybody gets on, and seeing the kids all get on is really good as well. You know, we don't have any sort of gripes or anything. They all back each other and they all help out, and it's just lovely. And yeah, even through the stress, it's... there's moments to laugh at and moments, yeah.
To walk away.
To walk away, yeah.
Yeah, count to three and then back you go again. But no, massive well done, Kaylee, and it's so wonderful to see the next generation coming through.
It is, and like I said, we've got some new ones. Our youngest is 4 and we go up to 18. And, yeah.
And if anybody wants to get involved, is there an opportunity for them?
If they come and speak to us on the showground, they're more than welcome to come and have a chat. We're always happy to explain what we're doing, why we're doing, and things like that. But yeah, just come up, find us in the cattle lines, and yeah, we'll have a chat. We're always happy to bring on new members.
Hello, my name is Finn.
Finn who?
McCracken.
Now, Finn, I've come up here to the farm to see what you've been up to today, and you've done a really great job by the looks of it of getting these cattle ready for the show. What has been your favourite part of today?
Probably the cleaning.
And what did you do to clean them?
We got water and put in soap, then we got the sponges, then scrubbed them.
And was it really hard to scrub them?
No.
No! And Austin, what about you? What was your favourite part of today?
My favourite part was walking them round.
And were they well behaved?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
They're so big, do you not scare you?
No.
No?
At first I was a bit scared.
And what have you called your heifer? Do you know what her name is yet?
Not yet.
Not yet. So are you enjoying this year?
Yeah.
Is this the first time being shown dairy calves?
Yeah.
Yeah. And will you come back next year?
Yeah.
Good. And Annabelle, what were you doing today? What was your favourite part?
I liked the washing.
Did you? And what did you have to do to wash your one?
We had to get all the purple shampoo and to make it all white and clean.
Oh, brilliant. And are you nervous about showing on Saturday?
Not really.
No? Is it your first time?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and who's the best out of them?
I don't know.
Don't know. I think you are. You're the only girl here today. I think you'll be the best.
Yeah.
Yeah, good on you. And Rory, what about your favourite part of today?
All of it.
All of it? And did you get soaked?
Yeah, a lot.
And do you have water fights, all of you?
No.
Are you very well behaved?
Yeah.
And is Kaylee a good teacher?
Yeah.
Does she shout at you?
Yeah, sometimes.
There we go. That was Annabelle and Austin, Finlow and Rory, and before that, Kaylee Masson, the coach.
Yeah, well, Kaylee's done a fair share of it. There's no better teacher, I wouldn't have said, than Kaylee Masson for that sort of job, isn't it?
Oh, for sure. Competing at national level herself and just wanting to give a bit back. The children, they're so excited to get in the show ring, and Rory's parting shot there, winning is what he's looking forward to on Saturday. We just wish them all the best, and I hope the nerves and the confidence shine through.
Indeed. You're listening to Countryside here on Manx Radio with Kiri Kermode and myself, Simon Clark. Well, it was a big weekend for people around the north of the Isle of Man in Ramsey. And as part of Ramsey in Bloom, there was an open gardens weekend, and I popped along to a couple of the gardens to have a look around and see what the public could see and the beauty and colour and the ornaments that were all available and the differences between the two gardens. Firstly, I popped along and spoke to Ali and Tony. So we're at garden number 22, Lazare Park area. Ali and Tony, has it been a busy old 2 days?
Yes, and today really busy. It's been lovely.
Yeah, well, sun's shining today and brings all the flowers out, I suppose. And
yes,
you've got a brilliant array and sort of, don't get it the wrong way, crammed together, but there's so much colour and diversity in here.
It's quite a small space, and I'm not really a digger or a forker, if that comes over all right on the radio. So there's no soil, there's no weeds, I don't need to do any heavy work, and if I do, I've got my own Mr. Muscle here who'll get the hedge trimmer out and clear things in moments where it takes me days to poodle about and do them.
Is this a garden that you've sort of settled on for a few years now with the different plants that's in it, or you're always looking to change it?
We've been here nearly 18 years, and when we first came, the house had been emptied for about a year. So the area we are now, which is half decking, half stone, and a lot of plants in a little pond, that was decking all the way to the fence, and the bottom bit was really rough grass all the way to the fence. So over the 18 years, it's been replaced by all sorts of hedging to hide the fence, perennials because they do their own thing, few bedding plants. I like to take seed from my own plants and propagate them. I like to take cuttings, propagate them. So yeah, a real mixture over the time.
Yeah, and Tony said you're the muscle man behind this. Has it got a lot of work, physical work, to keep it in this shape?
Well, the main physical work was removing the deck and putting the stone in, digging the pond out and creating the flower beds. So yeah, there's physical work. So anything heavy work wise, you know, I just muck in and get it done, with hedge trimmers, loppers, whatever. But like you say, there's so much here. You can keep busy virtually all year round with it.
Yeah. And the thing about it to me, you've got the lounges here and the table outside. I mean, you haven't done this garden for this specific event,
no,
you know, like this. You've done it so that you can enjoy sitting in on
this
your own time,
isn't
it? This
is our outdoor living space, yeah.
And the whole idea is when you sit down in the garden here, when the sun is round from midday right the way through till sunset, you can sit here, and when you sit down, all of the shrubbery just blocks out all of the other housing around and about, and you're just sitting in your own green space, and it's proper relaxing.
Yeah, it must be satisfying as well, Ali.
Mm-hmm. Yes, very much so. Yeah.
I mean, you said you've probably had 150 or so visitors over these last 2 days. I mean, what sort of comments do they come out with? Because obviously they've been to all different types of garden that are on display in Ramsey and Bloom.
A lot of them sort of say it's magical and it kind of gives you a lovely hug, because there's quite a lot of height to individual plants or to the shrubs that I've put round the fence. I mean, the fence is 6 foot, 7 foot tall, but the shrubs are going above that, and it just kind of wraps itself around you.
Yeah, yes. And that's the sort of feedback you've got.
Yes, yeah. And lots of colour, because I do love colour. Lots of clashing colours in nature. Yeah, good feedback. Great feedback.
Was it a brave decision to make to open it to the public?
When I first started doing Ramsey and Bloom, which is quite a few years ago now, I didn't like the thought of people coming into my private space, but I actually like that now, because they're like-minded people and the comments are great, and I prefer that to the actual judging, because how do you judge one garden against another? So yeah, I welcome people in, and if they have a little snippet of this, or if I break them a seed pod off from something else, then all well and good, because they're going and enhancing their own gardens with it.
Well, it seems to be another success this year, and nothing but praise for the people that have been round to see these gardens, and such contrasts, which I think is really the idea of it.
Mm, yeah, and I do like, as you know, I've made elderflower cordial from the black lace elder, and I've made biscuits with lavender and lemon balm and parmesan cheese and rosemary, and just to give people a little taste of what you can pick from the garden. And I'm watching a sparrow there now picking greenfly off that golden jasmine. And just little moments like that. And now he's gone down to the pond for a drink of water. It's just little moments like that's fabulous. We've had a whole family of blue tits in one of the nest boxes this year, and we just love it, don't we?
Yeah.
We love it.
So we found ourselves out at Rees-Moore Close here now, and I'm talking to
Margaret Sharp.
And Margaret, are you one of the oldest gardeners in this?
90.
90? Wow. Yeah. And who does all this garden? Me. Yourself?
Yeah.
That's pretty incredible.
I'm very lucky. Very, very lucky, yeah.
Has it always been a similar sort of design over the years?
No, I did the design.
Yeah?
I did it, yeah. Mostly with a hose pipe and put it as it where it fell round the garden. Instead, I didn't want straight edges, so I put it round and then I cut the
lawn to suit it. Yeah, and then added the beds to the side.
Yeah.
And how long have you been in this property?
We gave up the business. So I should think 30 years, I think.
Really, yeah.
I think so.
And it's always been a similar... I mean, you've got so much variety of plants, trees, bushes, ornaments, which all make a garden special, don't they? It's all right having different. Millions of flowers, but you've got everything in here.
A little bit of this. Well, I've been always one because my father was a gardener, my two daughters are gardeners, my sister's a gardener, so it's in us, you know. So I just, if someone said, would you like this, I'd take it, thank you very much, and pop it in.
Really?
So how I've got it.
But even when you look at the old wheelbarrow that's out the front there, that's got some paint and designs on it. Who's done that one?
Me.
As well?
Yeah, I do. Yes, like I paint all the wood every year. I paint all the fencing and everything. Yeah, I'm very lucky.
And what's your favourite bit of doing it? I mean, it's quite... keeps you fit, obviously, if you're 90.
Yeah, I've had both knees done, so now I can really go to town now again. That's just it is a hobby and I love it, and it's relaxation to me, see. It isn't hard work. No, it's just...
And what about the people, I mean, coming round here, the members of the general public,
I don't mind.
Looking to... But, I mean, they've been to so many that's open to the public.
Yeah.
And the beautiful thing is, most of them are all different. They've got their little quirks, haven't they?
That's right, yes, and that's gardeners. We're all different. We all have different styles and, you know, whatever we think, oh, that looked nice. And I mean, that's where your money goes.
Yeah, right.
But I enjoy it, and I think it's just in the blood.
Yeah, and it must be rewarding for members of the public come around going,
yes,
oh,
and I get some lovely comments, and, you know, they say how remarkable it is for me to be doing it. I'm so grateful. I have a lot to say thank God for, and that's the main thing, you know. It's just a gift, isn't it?
Well, there we are, 90-year-old Margaret Sharp showing her garden off to the general public and still as enthusiastic as ever, Kiri. And before that, Ali and Tony showing their garden as well.
It's unbelievable. The idea, you've got a purpose to get up in the morning, something to be very proud of. You're looking after a living, breathing garden like that. And with the sunshine at the moment, it must be just absolutely striking.
Yeah, and Margaret's saying she's up at 4 a.m. at the moment doing the garden, so that's brilliant.
Ahead of the
90
heat,
years
I bet.
Of age.
Fabulous.
Yeah. It is, and it was just great, the colours and the interesting little artefacts that make each garden unique from each other, which was so special. So well done to everyone in the Ramsey and Bloom and the Open Garden Weekend for being brave enough to allow the public in, hopefully not to trample too many flowers on the day. But that's nearly it for this week's Countryside Kiri. But big weekend coming up, the start of the shows, the agricultural shows, the Southern Show this Saturday and Sunday.
It is indeed. The tents are up, the pitches are all marked out, and the weather is due to break a little bit, but it won't put us off. We'll be all getting really excited to attend both the Southern Show and the Royal Manx.
Yeah, and the weather, I mean, everyone... every farmer on the Isle of Man's got a pair of wellies, haven't they? So it's not going to bother them. They have to be out in it day in, day out, regardless.
Well, this is it. And for the cattle and sheep to be shown and the horses, it needs to be a little bit overcast. It's more favourable for them. But I think the island might be happy with a little bit of rain. It's so scorched around and about. So, yeah, really exciting.
Yeah, we'll bring you coverage from the show fields on the day on next week's programme as well. And, of course, the Royal Show in 2 weeks' time as well. If you missed any of the countryside programmes, go to manxradio.com. You can download the podcasts. They're all free and you can go back and listen to any of the previous countryside episodes, and a lot of the time in longer versions as well, where the longer versions of the interviews are still on the podcast. But until next week, from me, Simon Clark.
And me, Kiri Kermode.
We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.